Imagine you're going on a road trip and you're driving from Sydney to Adelaide. It's a 14-hour drive, so you set up a plan before you kick off. You're with a friend or family member, so you agree one of you will drive the first half and the other the second. You also reckon you'll get tired, so you decide to book a motel somewhere to sleep overnight. Now, imagine if you didn't have those luxuries. You're driving on your own, so you don't have anyone to take turns with behind the wheel. And on top of that, it's not a holiday, and you actually have a deadline to meet, so you have to be there in that 14 hours. For interstate truck drivers, this is their job. 72.5% of our freight in Australia is transported by these truck drivers. And research headed by Taryn Chalmers at the University of Technology, Sydney, has found they're not only more at risk to physical health conditions, such as cardiovascular disease, but to mental health disorders, such as anxiety and depression. Jake Morecambe with this report.
Quite a few drivers, truck drivers that I spoke to, had experienced people committing suicide in front of their trucks. And my father was a truck driver. I had never even really thought, I hadn't even entertained that idea before. And having drivers kind of sit there and give me these, you know, horrid stories of not being able to stop their truck in time, that kind of resonated with me. And I thought, this is going to be my lifelong passion. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to help people who need help.
When you're speaking to one of these drivers, how are they kind of recounting that to you?
Yeah, it's actually a really good question. I was quite surprised at the almost apathy. I don't know if it's that these drivers are surrounded by this male mentality of being tough and not expressing your emotion, but so I had three drivers talk to me about it, and out of the three, only one of them really showed any emotion. And even then, it was more emotion for the person's family. It wasn't so much a kind of internalized emotion of being like, holy hell, I've just dealt with something really intense. It was more about the poor people, which is very honourable and altruistic, but I feel like they're really missing that they, you know, are kind of detrimented by something like this too.
Are these long-distance truck drivers?
Yeah, so I only interviewed, we call them long-haul drivers. A lot of these drivers drove from Sydney to Western Australia to Perth and back, and they spend the vast majority of their time alone. I mean, there's often not even a radio when they're in the middle of, you know, Australia, so they spend a lot of their time, you know, in these kind of monotonous driving conditions where there's no one around, there's no one to bounce off. And I use that term both anecdotally and neuroscientifically. Being able to chat to someone improves your mood a lot. But these poor drivers are really neglected. They're under a lot of financial strain. A large part of my research is trying to dispel that stigma around opening up. You know, males are less likely to divulge any information that may infer vulnerability. They are less likely to report depression, to talk about anxiety. And even that kind of instilled in me, the way they recounted these horrid events, instilled in me this sense that they still don't think it's okay to show any emotion. They still think they need to keep it inside, which is why I spend so much time going to talk to Australia Post and TNT and heads of big trucking companies and say, look, you need to be able to chat about this. Peer support is one of the most important endogenous mechanisms we have for dispelling things like depression and anxiety, and yet no one wants to talk about it.
Are those the two issues that really presented themselves as the main ones?
They did. I kind of had two focuses in my research. Firstly, I was looking to quantitate the levels of depression and anxiety in these drivers because there had only ever been one other study done. And I thought to myself, you know, coming from a family, a very kind of blokey family with brothers and my dad, I thought, how can I get this message that these drivers are depressed across to their bosses? I thought, well, what if I link it to a really common disease that they're trying to fight? And I know a lot of transport industries at the moment are really interested in cardiovascular disease. So I thought, what if I can link depression to cardiovascular disease? That way they might take it a bit more seriously. And that's what I've done. We have two nervous systems in our body. We have an autonomic nervous system, which is in control of things like your breathing, your heart rate. And then you've got your somatic voluntary nervous system, which is responsible for everything else pretty much. Within your autonomic nervous system, you have two branches, parasympathetic, which slows everything down, and your sympathetic, which increases the speed of everything, your heart rate, breathing rate. So I was able to show that people who had long-standing depression, and depending on their severity, they were directly linked to a withdrawal of their parasympathetic nervous system. Now, what that means, in colloquial terms, is that drivers who were depressed were less able to change their heart rate. Now, this is a really important concept because your body's ability to constantly either increase or decrease your heart rate depending on your external environment is vital to living. We have to have that. So the longer you had depression, the less able you were to control your heart rate, and thus you have a significantly increased chance of cardiovascular disease.
And then I guess to apply that to these people are driving for like ridiculous lengths of time.
That's exactly it. I mean, probably the crux of the argument here is that only 2.47% of the vehicles on Australian roads are trucks, and yet they're involved in 17.96% of all fatal accidents. Their incidence of heart disease is high, and I mean, it accounts for roughly 10% of all trucking accidents. So by linking not only cardiovascular disease to impaired driving and potential risks, I was also able to say, look, the precursor to that cardiovascular disease may have a mental link. It may be depression.
Where's the intervention to try and tackle the problem beginning?
For me, I'm looking at a prevention is better than a cure kind of idea, in that if we can improve the mental health, and not just in transport industry, but in all industries in Australia, if we can improve their mental health profile, their chances of developing cardiovascular disease will reduce. So I'm more about talking to companies about improving mental health workplace options, toolbox talks, which is a big one that I've been pushing at the moment, improving things like access to psychiatrists and cognitive behavioural therapists.
Across the board, how does the transport industry as an industry, how does it fare in terms of the way that it does offer mental health support for those who work in that industry?
They are trying. That's probably what I can say. There has been a lot of push in the last few years for mental health. I mean, there was a recent PricewaterhouseCoopers report that found across the board in Australia, businesses lose $10.9 billion annually for failing to address mental health within the workplace. In particular, Australia Post has been really good. Sydney Trains and Transport New South Wales are very proactive when it comes to mental health. But unfortunately, the vast majority of drivers are either self-employed, which means they have to look after it themselves, or alternatively work for small businesses that simply don't see the financial feasibility of introducing mental health schemes. The end goal of my research has always been to implement a mental health policy in every trucking company in Australia. We're one of the only countries in the world that don't really have that. And considering that we utilise more truck drivers than most other countries in the planet, considering how wide and vastly spread our metropolitan hubs are, it's astounding to me that we haven't taken a more progressive approach to mental health.
That was Taryn Chalmers from the University of Technology, Sydney, ending that report by Jake Morecambe.